Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. Yeah, it's time once again for Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. And I trust you are ready for an exciting podcast as we enter the world of technology. Yes, indeed, technology is where it's at. And, of course, you should know that because we are part of the Tech Podcast Network.
This show is a proud member of the TechPodcast.com network. Find out more about this show and others at www.techpodcast.com. Tech Podcast. If it's tech, it's here.
Yeah, if it's tech, it's here, all right. You are tuned in to Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, the podcast. Now, of course, there is Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, the blog. And I'd encourage you to go there to get the latest on the technology that we all love so dearly. Yeah, this is Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon Podcast, though, number 29. 29 for March 25th, and here it is Saturday. Now, the last podcast I did on a Monday night, which I got to admit was a little weird. I said so at the time. It's just a little strange doing a podcast on a Monday night when you're used to doing them on Saturdays. So we're kind of back in the saddle again, you know, just like John Wayne. Here we are, where we ought to be, doing what we ought to be doing. And as I promised, you know, I'm not one to renege on promises. As I promised, we have a Geek Software of the Week. Now, it ties in with our the work we did a few weeks ago actually on tuning Windows XP. I mentioned it at that time, but I want to talk about it a little more in detail, and that is XP Anti-Spy. Now, XP, of course, is a product of the evil empire, Microsoft. Da-da-dum. Yes, indeed. So, it is, of course, shouldn't add a T to the end of my, of course, suspect. XP, being a Microsoft product, is a suspect piece of software. And so we want to be sure that it doesn't report back to its evil masters in Redmond, Washington. And that's what XP Anti-Spy is all about. It is a utility that allows you to disable some of the built-in update and authentication features, end quote, in Windows XP. For example, there's a service running in the background that's called Automatic Updates. Now, basically, that is to allow Windows to do its updates, but in order to do that, it has to report certain things back to Microsoft. So you can turn that off if you want to and just do the updates manually. But there's a lot of little things like that that will, let's say they're somewhat suspicious in Windows XP. And so that's what this utility does. It allows you to go in and turn off things that XP does by default that maybe you don't want it to do. You know, you need to be in control of your personal computer. That's what a personal computer is about. It's the personal part, you know? Okay. All right. As long as we're talking about Microsoft, let's talk about something that it did this week, and that is it delayed Windows Vista yet again. Now, they have delayed it before. Matter of fact, a lot of the delays involve things like features that they had promised in Vista that they're just not going to put in there, you know, and at least not at this time. Matter of fact, the biggest one was a new file system, and it was supposed to be really cool, but it's not ready for prime time, and so they're not putting any in to the new Windows Vista operating system. They say they may launch it as part of a service pack. Now, changing the entire, you know, underlying file system as part of a service pack sounds a little weird, but hey, they're Microsoft. Anyway, they delayed Windows Vista, they say, at least until January 2007. That doesn't rule out the fact that they may delay it yet again, but they have put a freeze on all the features. And the big thing is that concerns me a little bit is all the computer vendors. You know, the computer vendors like Dell and HP and all these folks, they typically get what's called a gold disk. And that gold disk has to come out, in this case, early enough that they could get it on their systems and get those systems ready to be able to say that they're running Windows Vista in time for Christmas. Now, I know here it is, we just got into spring, you know, hardly even thinking about summer yet, and yet we're talking about Christmas. But see, that's how far out in terms of time we're looking at, and you have to think ahead in this case to the point that the vendors would like to have that gold disk so that they could load it on their PCs, and when the big Christmas sales season comes, they want to be able to sell those PCs with Vista. Well, Microsoft told them, we ain't going to make it, guys. Sorry. So that means that there's going to be a bunch of folks that may look at their PC purchases, even for Christmas, and say, you know, maybe I'll wait until after Christmas, and not only wait for the after Christmas sales, but see if Vista comes out and see if they're going to put Vista on those PCs. So, something to think about. Now, here's the thing. Microsoft emphasized during a Tuesday conference call, this past Tuesday, with the press and analysts, that it's going to make Vista Code available to some customers in 2006, as the company's been promising for nearly the past 2 years. Now, of course, not everybody's buying that, but hey, that's what they said. They said, quote, today's announcement essentially makes Windows Vista, means that Windows Vista is delayed until 2007, and that was according to Joe Wilcox, an analyst with Jupiter Research. While Microsoft says all software will be available to businesses through volume licensing, the company's own financials show that a small percentage of customers purchase that way. Most businesses buy Windows on new PCs, and those won't be coming out until 2007. End quote. So, there you go. Windows Vista delayed. Now, as we're talking about computer vendors, there was another little news item that came out on March the 23rd, and that is that Dell is acquiring Alienware. Now, if you're not familiar with Alienware are those PCs that look like, aliens. They have a little alien head on them, and they're kind of cute, and, they have such unique names as Area 51 and all this kind of stuff. The big thing about Alienware PCs is that they are designed to be very, very high-end, very powerful, and of course, very expensive, and they're designed for gamers. They kind of beef up the CPU, the memory, and the RAM, and the video, mainly, the video, for video games. And so, Dell is acquiring Alienware. Now, Dell said that the purchase of the Alienware company is going to strengthen its position among computer enthusiasts. Alienware fans should not fear that their favorite PCs will soon bear the Dell logo, the company said. It would be operating as a wholly owned subsidiary of Dell, and it will operate separately. Okay, so Alienware will remain Alienware, but it will be owned by Dell. Interesting. So we'll see where that goes, and we'll see if maybe the XPS line, which is Dell's high-end, at least notebook, you know, Alienware makes some high-end notebooks, and Dell makes a high-end notebook called the XPS. That's its kind of gaming machine, so we'll see if it gets some of the features that maybe some of the Alienware machines get. See if there's a little, you know, exchange of technologies going on there. All right, next item, what is the fastest Windows XP laptop? Well, let's see, we talked about Dell, talked about HP. Who do you think it is, the fastest Windows XP laptop? Well, guess what happened when Gearlog did some tests of different PCs to find out who was fastest running Windows XP? It was, drumroll, the Apple MacBook Pro. Huh? No, that's what happened. They tested the MacBook Pro against some other notebooks and found out that it ran Windows XP tests faster than the other laptops. That's pretty cool. Weird, but pretty cool. Okay, now that leads me to my question. Should I, Dr. Bill, buy a MacBook Pro. What should I do? I posed this in the podcast earlier in the week on Monday, and I said, let me know, write me email. Now, of course, to write me an email, you have to write to Dr. Bill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at thecomputercurmudgeon.com, thecomputercurmudgeon.com. Dr. Bill at thecomputercurmudgeon.com. Send me an email and just tell me, you don't even have to explain it, just tell me, yes or no, should I buy a MacBook Pro? Now, as I mentioned, I don't have the money for a MacBook Pro, okay? It's just not sitting around that I can just plunk it down. But if you would like to donate to the cause of me getting a MacBook Pro, if you're really such a tremendous Apple fanatic that you just desperately want to get somebody else on the glorious Apple platform, then you can click on the Make a Donation button at the top right-hand side of my website, and you can send me some bucks. So if all of a sudden $2,499 appears in my PayPal account, you can better believe that I will go out and buy a MacBook Pro in your honor. Yes, indeed. And if you only have $10, hey, that's okay too. It all comes together in the end. Now, if you are not so inclined, I understand, that's fine. Or if you think, are you crazy, you shouldn't buy a MacBook Pro, and send me an email that says that as well. I will let everybody know how that turns out. Now, as long as I'm making requests for you to do something for the dear doctor, then I would encourage you to look a little further down on the right-hand side of my website. And that's, of course, thecomputercurmudgeon.com. Just scroll, scroll, scroll. That's that little wheel on your mouse. Or you may have to grab the little bar on the right-hand side of your browser and drag it down until you get to the very bottom right-hand side, right under the techpodcast.com network logo. There is a very colorful little rectangle that says, click here to stick a pin in Dr. Bill's Frapper podcast listener map. Go ahead and do that. Click on that little colorful Frapper icon. It will take you to Frapper.com. That's F-R-A-P-P-R.com. And if you just happen to be on Frapper anyway, you can just go www.frapper.com/thecomputercurmudgeon. And if you do that, you will see our Frapper map. Now, so far, 14 people, admittedly, including myself. I mean, if I'm going to ask you to do it, I'm going to do it too, right? Have actually clicked over there and joined our Frapper map. Let's look at where some of the people are from. Of course, Greensboro, North Carolina. That's me. A nameless someone from Greensboro, North Carolina, also joined. Then someone from Lower Saxony in Germany. Adam Winter, of course, our buddy from Charlotte, North Carolina. And then someone from Romania. Someone from Hong Kong, China. Someone from High Point. Yeah, I know. I see you, Mike. Mike Johnson, used to work with him over at Guilford County. And then someone from Broken Boat, Nebraska. Somebody from Georgia. East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, Brighton, England, and let's see, Nina, Wisconsin, and Belfast, Northern Ireland, and also Morristown, New Jersey. Now, that's quite a spread across the world of folks that are listening to Dr. Bill, and I appreciate those that do. But I tell you what, I don't know that you're out there unless you let me know. So how are you going to do it? Click on the icon, go to the Frapper map, fill out the little, there's no obligation, nobody's going to know. You don't even, all you have to do is just put where you're from, and you know, you can even use a handle. You can call yourself Slick Freddy, I don't care. But whatever, just put it on there and let me know where you are by sticking a pin in the map. That will just be really cool and interesting. Won't take but a second, and wouldn't it be cool to see the entire world surrounded, you know, just covered by people that listen to Dr. Bill, the computer comedian. Wow, what a feeling of power. Okay, let's calm down. All right, fastest Windows laptop, we talked about that. And of course, the question is still, should I get a MacBook Pro? It's getting interesting. I don't know. Next item. There is yet another reason to dump Internet Explorer, as if you needed any more. Internet Explorer is old, slow, picks up all the spyware that's out there, almost as though all the spyware were designed to get into Internet Explorer, which, of course, it is. Duh. Internet Explorer is a terrible, very insecure browser, and it's so old, it's stodgy. So why are people still using it? Because they don't know that there is a better alternative, which is, of course, the Mozilla Firefox free, F-R-E-E, free web browser. I've got a link there. If you click on it, go to it, download it, you will love it, as I do. But anyway, the reason that I'm mentioning it is that there is another reason to dump IE, and that is, of course, that Microsoft announced that there is a serious exploit that has been released for, of course, one of those big, gaping, huge, you can drive a truck through it security holes in Internet Explorer. They say that the advisory confirms that there is the existence of a code execution hole that was discovered and publicly reported by Secunia Research of Copenhagen, Denmark. When Internet Explorer displays a web page that contains certain unexpected method calls to HTML objects, system memory, yes indeed, may be corrupted in such a way that an attacker could execute arbitrary code, the software maker said. Separately, the SANS ISC, the Internet Storm Center, warned that a proof-of-concept code has already been unleashed that could easily be modified into a dangerous exploit. The ISC's threat meter has been raised to yellow to sound alarm bells for what is deemed a significant new threat. So, big, huge reason to go away from Internet Explorer and toward, well, anything else, but might as well go to Firefox. So, do it. Yes, indeed. All right, next item, and that is Linspire announces a mini. Now, this is a sneak peek. They haven't officially, you know, even, I think, put it on their website. There is a link to another website called ehomeupgrade.com that has some pictures. But basically, the Linspire folks, and if you're not familiar with Linspire, they used to be Lindows. The idea was to take Linux and make it look like Windows, which, of course, they did. But then Microsoft said, dude, hey, Lindows is too close a word to Windows. I'm going to whoop up on you. And so they took them to court. And Linspire settled by changing their name, or Lindows changed their name to Linspire. Microsoft gave them, oh, $24 million or so, which is kind of interesting since you would think they were on the losing end. But Michael Robertson has a way of ending up landing on his feet. So, somehow or another, deals were made, hands were shaken behind closed doors. And what happened is Linspire ended up with some code to run Windows Media on Linux. And a lot of money. The reason, I think, personally, just my opinion, is that they were about to lose that lawsuit, and Microsoft would have lost their Windows trademark. And if that had happened, it would have been very, very bad. So, Linspire came out, you know, stronger, more agile, and with some extra code to put into their operating system. Pretty cool deal if you want to be on the, quote, losing side of the name game that happened there. But at any rate, Linspire is universally trashed by Linux geeks. I mean, people just, man, they just think Linspire is a dog because they charge money for their operating system. And as we all know, Linux is free. Well, what they're charging for, folks, you know, all you Linux folks, calm down. I am one of you. But they are charging for a service. They're trying to make Linux available to people who are not super geeks like you and I, and who are not going to take Debian from its standard build and build it from scratch, maybe build it from source. No, They're trying to reach the people that are running Windows, and they're just fat, dumb, and happy. Okay? So they're charging them a little money, $49, for the operating system that will look and feel like Windows, make them feel right at home, and yet they'll be running Linux. Now, despite your disgust over Linspire, Linux people, this is a good thing. Okay? So cut them some slack. Okay? All right. Anyway, it actually is a pretty neat operating system. It is very Windows-like. And as a matter of fact, I just finished installing it on my son Ben's laptop. So that should be interesting. See how he does with that. And what they've done, what I'm talking about here in the blog entry, is that they have introduced what looks like a Mac Mini type of PC. Very small and inexpensive. It's going to ship for about $399, but it's a very cool little system. Now, I'm waiting to hear more details. Basically, it looks like it's, let me just give you a rundown of what I know so far. 2.8 pounds, front backlit power button, slot loading combo DVD drive, two rear USB ports, one FireWire connector, S-Video DVI video outputs, 10100 Ethernet port, speaker and mic jacks, Pentium M740 processor, or Celeron M, a single slot for DDR2 memory, and a choice of a 40 or 80 gig hard drive. So not a bad little system. Might be fun to play with. And of course comes with Linspire installed. Pretty neat. So something to look into, I think. Yeah. You know, I need a toy budget fund. I need more money to spend on some of these things, you know, like the MacBook Pro and the Linspire Mini and all these things that are coming along, because, you know, the doctor's got to play with stuff. That's how I learn. So, contribute to my fund. You're saying, look, dude, I got to find enough money to contribute to my own fund. Yeah, I know. Oh, well. Well, anyway, that's what's happening in the tech world, and I trust you've enjoyed the podcast this week, and I really, really do want to hear from you. I'm not kidding about both the Frapper map and let me know whether I should get the MacBook Pro, all those things. I really want to hear from you. Also want you to send me questions. If you have any questions about things, we've solved some problems for some folks with their computers, so you know that I will find the answer. If I don't know it, if it's not right off the top of my head, I will find the answer for you. So, come on, send me those emails, and join me next week for Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. And until then, remember, the doctor is out!